Today, my sharing is a bit more of a testimony, more of a bit of my own thoughts, and a little bit from the good book. So it's because, you know, life experiences. So hopefully I can present it smoothly as I gather my thoughts. Let's commit the service to the Lord. O Lord, and be yet for another Sunday to gather together in the house of the Lord. And be Lord for this privilege that you have made us your own, and you will mold us as clay. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is for thy own good pleasure, for God the Creator, and you do as you will. Guide me, O Lord, today as I share my thoughts, that you may benefit, Lord, the congregation. Thank thee, in Jesus' name, amen. So, I had maybe they want a microphone. I will try to speak louder. I'm sorry if I sound weak, because, you know, last weekend I had bad flu, 4 days of continuous fever will sap your strength. It will sap your strength. And on Tuesday, my fever broke, but I find myself unable to walk to get like lunch, and I felt faint. You know, it's like so. So for a while, I felt, wow, you know, this is horrible. To keep taking a really strong medicine, ibuprofen, to bring your fever down. And at the end, I'm so weak. And in my head, however, I was wondering how my dad is feeling. Because I felt terrible, and he must feel worse. And I felt guilty. I was not around to help him during that time. But such is life. I might be emotional now and then, but so last my thoughts went around, and you know, we have been talking about Job a lot, character Job in the Bible, and my thoughts went back to our late Brother Christopher Gunn, and when I was younger, in my 20s, you're fit and healthy and all that. And once in a while, I would hear this phrase come out from my uncle. You don't know. You don't know. He's talking about his afflictions and suffering. And truly, I don't know. I didn't know. Most of us do not know either. We don't know. Until you go through it, you don't know. It's you start to realize a little more. I start to realize a little more when my knees gave. The pain, it was, I tell you, arthritis is no joke. It's incredibly painful. And I was on and off crutches for a few years as I recover, only to afflict myself again because I thought I recovered. And then I realized that's the end of that. No more sports, no more running around. That's the end of my youth. And only early 30s, and that's the end of that. Only then did I have a little inkling and realization of what I didn't know about suffering, the mystery of suffering. And it made me grow up faster. So likewise, we have the character Job. We may read the 42 chapters. I can tell you, you don't know. We truly don't know. Those of us who have our own afflictions, we have turned our sympathy, and then we become more empathetic because we understand there's some sort of association with the suffering. See, Sister Lucy here, Sister Jackie also has knee problems, the Rolly also has a burden to carry across. So now, when God is in this situation, and I might not be the first party in this story, but it is a huge burden nevertheless. So there are different tiers of people in a suffering situation, right? The first party, Gun in this case now, his eyes is open to how his youngest brother suffered. So painful. And he is the first one at hand now to understand what Job went through. And being there watching that, I feel it too. Now, Job's suffering is worse. It's even worse. The words now jump out alive, and you realize how bad it was. And he wanted to die as well. Now, brother, God is very tired too. Job loathed the day he was born. There was like no end in sight. And he wanted to die. That is natural. No one can blame that. But God will have his way if you are to grow, you will go. But if he wills that your time is not yet, then you will continue to suffer. And that's what Job went through, is what Brother Mr. Fergan went through for 20 years. Each of us who bears an affliction will continue as well until the Lord is ready to bring you through to the next stage. Amen. We do not know. We can only leave it to God. Now God works in a strange way. The Lord, when He's here, He speaks in parables. Nobody can really understand. Today, He doesn't talk to anyone, really. It's not like He talks to Moses. Not all of us are Moses. And He always seems silent. You know, we are taught as good parents. I'm not a parent, yes, but parents are supposed to relate to the children, explain to the right young man, right? Why father mother is doing this thing? Why when you do this, why you did wrong? I explain to you. Or before you did wrong, this is what I teach you, you know, so that you get it before you see things. Now the other form of love, which we know, and it seems the operating, the modus operandi of the Lord is what you call tough love. Tough love is the kind that, you know, you don't know how to swim, he takes you and throws you into the deep end of the swimming pool immediately. You will learn to swim quickly. That way of teaching, I feel sometimes that's the way the Lord operates. He's not going to teach you, oh yeah, you hold on here, feather your feet and swing your arms. No. He just takes you and throws you in the deep end of the pool. And you see how you react, and teach you from that. The army stuff. So what is love? This is agape love, right? We have eros, which is between husband and wife. The sexual kind of love. Then you have filio, brotherly kindness, where we help one another. We help the poor, like we do with the brethren in Malawi. What is agape? From my understanding, is the love of God for mankind, and the love of man for God. It's a godly love. It's a sacrificial love that transcends and persists regardless of circumstances and situation. You have to give a part of yourself. If you don't give a part of yourself, I don't think it's really got agape. It's well described by the great commandment, right? In Matthew 22, 37 to 40, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind. Right? Yeah, let's turn to that. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. This is agape. Second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now the Lord brought this even further when he was around, sitting on the mount with the multitudes around him. And chapter 5, verse 43. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemies. But I say unto you, verse 44, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That's agape. It's not something you would normally do. It's a godly kind of love. So Job, the sufferer. Now the next tier, you see, is his wife, because that's his immediate family, that's his wife. She's the caregiver, and which I find myself in this situation along with my sister and my mother. the caregiver, now, I mean, now I understand what Sister Dorothy, that is Brother Christopher's wife, and my two cousins, what they went through all these years. Now I'm in that position. Now I understand. It is a difficult position when the situation is bad. Now I understand what the Piper family also went through. You remember Brother David Piper? He also had ascites in his last days before he had a heart attack and went. And during that time, I was also ignorant. Brother Isaac Piper called me the other day to offer support. And I appreciate that, brother. I appreciate that. Because he understands. After this group, we have the three friends. They are close to Job, but they are not the immediate caregiver to his day-to-day needs. So they can understand, they are probably his long-time friends, and they have this empathy for Job. They feel for him greatly in their heart. They rent their clothes, threw dust on their head. This is the category most of us are in when you know someone else. Now the last group, I'm not talking about anywho, very good. I'm talking about others that might know Job. They are like, they suffered. I mean, this is what I was when I know this brother or that brother, or even my uncle Christopher at the time. I was just an others. So you have sympathy but not empathy. So I've gone through the stages: sympathy to empathy, now to immediate caregiver. So do you understand the suffering of Christ? When you watch the Passion of Christ, I think that one depicts it best, especially at the end. He was persecuted, and then he was whipped, tortured, whipped, and hung on the cross. So I, when you watch that movie, if you're just sympathetic, you will not shed a tear. If you do not shed a tear, maybe you should think about why you do not shed a tear. Whenever I watch a movie like Schindler's List, I shed a tear too. It's a tough situation for the children of Israel. So, do you understand the suffering of Christ? What does it mean to you? I will keep this short. Let's go to Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 12. Now today my sharing is just to try and stir your heart to think about some things, how you relate to things, how situ, how how you knowing thyself, right? Like God is trying to teach. So in Numbers chapter 12. Oh, do I have the wrong? No. Number 16. Sorry. Numbers chapter 16. So this is about Korah's rebellion. Korah, son of Izhar, son of Kohath. So in verse 2 onwards, they rose up before Moses. The certain children of Israel, 250 of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. Now these are leaders of their own congregation. Verse 3, and they gathered themselves against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, you take too much upon you. Seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Therefore, lift up yourself above the congregation of the Lord. You know, they're challenging that. But they don't know what's going on. God only talks to Moses. And Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. He understood the gravity of the situation. Because time and time again, you have a group of people doing this nonsense. And he spake unto Korah and all his company, even tomorrow the Lord will show you who are his, who is holy, and will cause him to come near to him. Alright? And ask them to take their censers. And verse 8, and Moses said unto Korah, here I pray thee, ye sons of Levi. Now verse 9, this is where I wanted to entitle my sharing today, with this line. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you, that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel, to bring him, to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them. Now I want you to think a bit about verse 9. And let me rephrase verse 9 for our thoughts. And let me put it to you, right? Seemeth it but a small thing to you, that God of Israel have separated you from the congregation of the world, the worldly churches, to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, this ministry here, to stand before the congregation. Right. So, seemeth it but a small thing to you that Christ suffered and died for your salvation on the cross. That you will come to church on Sunday, maybe fight over what chair you want to sit and where, or maybe, oh, this Sunday I have a outing with this friend, and you're not around that Sunday because of going out with a friend. Seemeth it but a small thing to you that you have this gift from God, or whatever nonsense we want to fight over. So you know what happened to this Korah. In all that action, Moses is angry. Nevertheless, he still tried to stand in the gap. Do you know that? I mean, do you know that Brother Gunn has always done his best to stand the gap for you too? If you do silly things. You see in verse 20, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among the congregation, that I might consume them all in a moment. This is how fierce the Lord can be. And they fell upon their face. O God, the God of spirit of all flesh, shall one man sin and your wrath be on the congregation? In Moses is telling Lord, just one man, this is Korah, not the entire 250. So I'm sure you know the story. If you don't, then you better do a lot of reading. Korah and his family were swallowed and the earth opened its mouth. But later, the Lord will do as he will, despite Moses standing in the gap. And in verse 35, and out there came a fire from the Lord and consumed 250 men. In the end, God judged them all. I don't know what happened between, maybe it's 250, I still never learned their lesson. And God is like, enough. Okay, all of them. So let us think for a moment on verse 9. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you? Let it not be this case for you or me. I examine myself a lot, and I don't think anything special of myself. I do not desire fame, fortune, or power. If, you know, after going through all things, and especially suffering, your priorities change. When you're young, I go out, I want to do this, I want to make a lot of money, I want to buy this house, I want to buy the car, I want to do this, I want to do that. You plan, and if it's not according to God's will, it will not come to pass. It will not happen. I've been through my own burdens, my own situation, my own suffering, and now my own parent has this. And my life is flipped upside down, and what was important is no longer. In fact, I think life achievements are all vanity. Whatever we do, when we cross to the other side, has no meaning at all unless it's for God. There's totally no value in striving to make more money, get more fame, and then you cross over to the other side. Well, you leave behind all these useless things. It's useless. What are you going to do with all that money, right? And who is the next? I mean, according to King Solomon, right, I think in the book of Ecclesiastes, who is the next fool who is going to take your money? And who knows what he's going to do with it? Now, so I went to Cebu, and where I go there, they will ask me to share on Sunday, you know, what they call Sunday school. So the group in Tabuilan has no pastor. They do not even have an elder. They are supported by the church in Sagay in the next island that comes over every week. They send an elder or a deacon sometimes also. And I marvel at their commitment. I marvel at the commitment of these elders and deacons who go around. I asked an elder, his name is Brother Fred. He is the brother of Pastor Sakayan in Sakai. How many outreach do you all have? And I think he mentioned something like 6 or 7 previously, but some have become independent with their own elder or pastor. So now it's something like 4 or 5, including the one in Tabuelan, where Sister Maribeth is from, is the very first one that they have as an outreach. So I marvel at the community. And come to think of it, you have the churches in Africa. You see how the Baptist Church is doing, also doing outreach, and many brethren being involved in that. And then you have Brother Nice and his congregation too, very strong, very strong. And then you have this church. We are in the late age of Laodicea. You are rich and in need of nothing. We have the apostle. An apostle which the other church there do depend on this, the foundational teaching. But we might be the most ambition of the churches. We are cold. Granted, I know the devil will definitely attack the foundation first. He will give a lot of trouble. So, let's not make things seem but a small thing unto you. Let us appreciate the Lord's suffering and death on the cross for your salvation. Let us not become lukewarm, lest the Lord spew you out of His mouth. Read James chapter 4. Not going to read through this, but I came to James chapter 4 because of Christopher's passing and the passage of not wasting from verse 13 onwards, which Brother Gunn picked up. Because you don't know when you're going to go, and your life is a vapor. Now you read, and I decided to read the rest of James 4 also, it's very interesting. Remember to humble yourself, to lift up yourself, and you'll be fine. So I'm here just sharing this. Thoughts. And I wasn't sure what I'm going to share today, but this is what I want to come across. And Brother Gunn now, of course, is in a. We don't know what the Lord wants to do. He either will continue suffering a little longer, to which Braga is already very weary. He wants to go home. Or the Lord will heal him, as he did Job. And we just wait and pray. Thank you. I thank you, brothers and sisters, who have help to hold up the ministry here. I too am doing my best. I don't feel I'm any stronger than Prasi, strong elder here, Paul. the rest of us, let's do our part also. And don't make it the Lord's suffering. Let's not think about Job, Brother Gan, or Brother Chris. Let's think about the Lord's suffering. And make sure it doesn't seem like a small thing unto you. Thank you. God bless you.